This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
Not great.
Why is that? Rain? Because of the rainy weather?
Yeah, that's part of it. I do find that my mood on any given day is directly tied to whether it's a sunny or rainy day.
You know, I've noticed that too. And like, I've always had like a bit of that, but like, I think because of the lockdown, which doesn't make sense because I'm inside no matter what. And we're not under lockdown right now, whatever, just, you know, pandemic, don't go to bars and stuff.
Don't do unnecessary things.
Yeah. But I've noticed that because yesterday it was beautiful out and I was like, hey, good morning, sunshine. I'm on top of the world.
Then you just sat in your apartment for 10 hours and did work, right? Which is, I'm sure, is the same thing that you did all day today.
Yeah. But I was like getting so much more done because I was in a good mood and like energized. Even though I went outside a few times to walk the dog and that was it.
That's unhealthy, right? We're not well, right?
No, not at all. I had like a physical recently, an online physical.
Which then guess what? They can't call it a physical.
I don't think they did, actually. I think some lawyer went over it. But my blood pressure was like a little bit high and she's like, oh, has anything like changed in your routine over the last year? It's like, yeah, I don't go outside anymore. Like I don't get even the bare minimum of exercise. And she immediately, yes, Tim, she, a woman. I know you can't believe things like that, but it's a progressive world now.
Well, I know that you also troll ZocDoc for the most attractive woman. You're like, well, if someone's going to see me in my underwear, I hope it's a beautiful lady.
Yeah. Well, and luckily I did.
A perfect opportunity to force a beautiful woman to see me stripped down.
View my nude body. Well, luckily I didn't have to get naked on a Zoom call or whatever. It wasn't Zoom. It was something more secure, I hope. But, yeah. And she was like, this is happening to everyone. Everyone is unhealthy. try and walk more. Try and get, some basic exercise again.
I will go through phases of, doing the bare minimum challenge of, like, all right, I'm going to go outside for 15 minutes today, every day, every single day. I'm going to try to
get that vitamin D.
5 days where I go outside.
Yeah.
And I fail usually.
Yeah. This appointment, I'm coming up on the big 4-0 very soon. And this particular appointment too was depressing in that it was like, you got a plan for what happens if you're like dying or dead, like who gets to make decisions for you and stuff. It's like, I'll decide.
Tom, you're arguably unqualified to make those decisions now as a well man.
That's true. It's like, I don't know, Doc, you decide. You have power of attorney now. You decide if I live or die.
Sure. Yeah, that's not a cool milestone, Tom. Yeah. I can say that because I'm a year behind you.
Well, and to be fair, I don't think she brought it up because I'm almost 40. I think it was more like what happens if you get hit by a bus tomorrow type thing. Right. But we'll see.
Were you just like, what do you care? You think I'm going to get hit by a bus?
I tell you what, if I get hit by a bus, lady, I'm going to the hospital. I'm not going to call you on Zoom.
I don't care how pretty you are.
Well, Tim, I'm sorry to hear that it's the weather's been bumming you out.
It's the weather, and it's also my tooth hurts, and my tooth has hurt for like 6 months, but like 6 months ago I couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I'm not fully vaccinated yet.
Well, I am, Tim. I can come over and take a look at it. I told you I fixed the toilet the other week. If I can fix a toilet, think about how much smaller a tooth is than a toilet. It's all porcelain.
It's true. I would trust you with my teeth. The last dentist I went to did tell me I had a small mouth.
Yeah, you won't get any of that gruff from me, Tim. I've got better bedside manner.
He was annoyed at me for having a small mouth. He's like, you know, you have a very small mouth. It's like, all right, I know. Sorry. What do you want me to do about it?
Yeah, give myself a Joker-esque smile by cutting the sides of my mouth. Is that what you would like? Now, who's the real twisted one, the Joker or the dentist who created the Joker?
Yeah. So I don't want the first thing to be like, "Yep, all vaxxed up 2 weeks since my second shot, and now to the dentist," yeah, where they're probably going to have to do like a root canal because this pain is significant.
Yeah. My girlfriend had a similar thing, and like the pain got to the point where it was like, I have to risk it. And this is months ago. And luckily she did need a root canal, but she was fully prepared to have a root canal. I also brought my, speaking of bodies breaking down, I had to bring my dog to the vet just for like a physical. Man, Tim, you think human healthcare screwed up in this country? Dog healthcare is unbelievable.
Oh no. This is distressing news.
Well, she's fine. Let me get that off the plate first.
I mean, she's a freaking geriatric, Tom.
She's older, yeah. She's 11 now, but she's in great shape.
77.
Yeah.
No 77-year-old is in great shape.
You can be in great shape for being 77.
Yeah. So like, but like in the grand
scheme
of things, what about
Jack
LaLanne?
She's the Jack LaLanne of dogs.
Jack LaLanne still had like, you know, his skin was still sagging off of his bones in an unsettling way.
I don't care if your skin. I don't think that really happens with dogs.
LaLanne was like strong and stuff, but you could still kind of see through his skin and see his bones.
Well, anyway, she's fine, but man, they really get you at the vet because they're just like, we could do this test, and you're like, well, should I have that test done? They're like, and they basically go like, well, it depends on if you love your dog or not. And they just run.
Do you have insurance for Ginger?
No. Everything I've read about dog, like, or pet health insurance, it sounds like it's just another scam.
Oh, like people health insurance?
Yeah, where it's like you can get this, you can pay, and then like if you ever actually need something done, they're not going to cover it.
Yeah, I wonder where they learned those tricks.
Yeah. But freaking blood test was so expensive. I should have just taken some of her blood and said it was mine and done a test on it because I get free blood tests with my insurance. And, like, it's probably the same test. They don't do a test for, like, let's make sure this isn't dog blood.
Tom, did they test your blood for mange?
But that's the thing. She didn't need to get tested for mange. She needed to get tested like a normal person would get tested for things. I don't know. I have to go get blood drawn tomorrow now. I guess that's the thing too. When they do the test, they draw blood. You can't show up with some vials and just say, "This is my blood. This is the blood I would like tested, please."
Yeah, I mean, do they have devices like you know, when people get like a fake?
Yeah, like a fake bladder for like drug tests.
Yeah. Is there a way that you can like slip on a thing and put your dog's blood into the, you know, they think it's coming out of your arm, but it's really coming out of a pouch that you've loaded your dog's blood into that is duct taped to your chest or something?
So you're imagining basically me wearing like swim floaties like a child would have in a pool filled with dog's blood. Yes. And the floaties would be the same color and texture as my skin.
Ideally. I mean, that's a little tough. I think what you would have to do, you'd need to learn a little bit of sleight of hand.
Mm.
And, you know, when they, you know, take the hit and actually have them do the normal thing, and then you switch out the tubing somehow.
Oh, I thought... What I was thinking was, like, right when they were getting ready to take the blood, I would say, like, "What's that over there?" And then I would just grab their hand and jam the needle into my, the floaty.
I'll take it from here, Doc.
Yeah, hey, I got this. Did I tell you I'm also a doctor? And they don't know. What would happen, like, if you went to a doctor's office for a checkup and you were like, "I'm also a doctor"?
I mean, doctors don't just like treat themselves. They
no,
go to
I
doctors.
Know, but like they're, you know, they can't.
You
be
know,
like...
I said that so confidently, but I don't think I've ever considered it before this point.
No, that is true. I'm saying, like, if you went into a
Dr. Melfi went and saw Peter Bogdanovich on The Sopranos.
Exactly. So. Well, I think that's a thing that like psychiatrists and stuff are supposed to. Also see a psychiatrist themselves. It's a
They're not supposed to tell their psychiatrist about their patients.
That's true. Yeah.
Crimes.
Yeah. Well, now you've made me. Well, now all I'm thinking about is that YouTube has started recommending for me videos of different people getting whacked off on The Sopranos.
Okay. Why?
I don't know, but, you know, the other day I watched when Tony killed Christopher. Spoiler alert. Yeah. And then I watched, I forget what other ones it was giving me. All the big ones.
Yeah.
But that has nothing to do with switching out dog blood for regular blood. Oh, what I was saying, Tim, if I went to a doctor and I was like, "Oh, I'm also a doctor," they can't be like, "Oh, well, let me see your badge." You think there's a code word or something?
They'd want to see, number one, your license plate that it says MD on it. But if you're like, "Oh, I took an Uber here," they're going to want to see that stick with the snake wrapped around it.
So bring a stick with a snake wrapped around it is what you're saying.
Yeah, but you don't get one of those unless you're a medical doctor.
I think you could probably just be like, "Oh, yeah, I'm here for a regular checkup. By the way, I'm also a doctor, so, you know, just give me the house rate on all this stuff."
Oh, you think it'll be cheaper that way?
Yeah, and also, like, you can level with me because I'm a doctor.
You think your doctor's lying to you?
I don't know. I'm realizing, too, that if I said that, they would probably just say, like, a bunch of technical terms at me, and then I would walk out of there not sure if I was well or not.
I mean, isn't that kind of the case as it is?
Yeah, that pretty much is the case. Like, I feel like every doctor's appointment I have, I walk out of there with them being like, "Well, you're in tip-top shape, except for one thing." Except for one thing, which is probably fine, but it is a little weird. So but there's nothing to do about it except think about it while you're trying to go to sleep every night.
That's the thing. Every time I go to the doctor, I'm always like, "Oh, well, there's this concerning thing," and the doctor doesn't even look up from whatever they're doing, playing on their phone or whatever. Just like, "I'm sure it's fine, though.
Yeah.
You're a young, healthy man." It's like, No, I'm neither of those things. I mean, demonstrably not young, and then healthy. No, that's what we're here to determine.
Right.
Like, yeah, I've been lucky enough to be healthy up until this point, as far as I know. But if I'm not healthy, we have to, like, we're supposed to figure out if I'm healthy. It's like a thing we're doing together right now while you're in the room with me.
Well, and Tim, I know I'm not an actual doctor, but I do think 38 is too old to have not had hit puberty yet.
Shut up, Tom. Tom, we're not here to talk about our health or doctors or switching out our own blood for dog's blood.
Well, it might come up later in the show for entirely different reasons.
Yeah. We're here to talk about arcade games, something near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, this is almost like a part two from last week's Man Cave episode, because I was all about them arcade games, having an arcade game, having an actual arcade in my basement, which then I told you I would give you the keys to, so you could come over if, like, things got real rough in the middle of the night.
Yeah, and I politely declined.
Play a few rounds.
Probably wouldn't need the keys.
Play a few rounds of Asteroids and see if that didn't take care of things.
Wouldn't need to do that. Tom,
mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
First and foremost, are our arcade games completely obsolete at this point?
They, for the most part, are. I've been to, I'm trying to remember, I guess maybe, like, so there are barcades. You know, we've talked about those on the show before, and people are familiar with the concept of a bar and arcade. Now, those are full of vintage games, usually.
Right.
But I have seen arcade games in recent years. I can't remember exactly where, maybe at like an arcade, maybe at like a walking by a Dave and Buster's or something. And
hey, DMB, Tom, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I've never enjoyed going to a Dave and Buster's.
Mm-hmm.
I have such a desire that I told you I didn't want to go to the dentist when I get, but I will go to the dentist if afterwards I can go to Dave and Buster's. For some reason, all I want to do is go to a freaking Dave and Buster's.
I've had lots of fun at Dave and Buster's because I've had two different jobs where we've had like work outings to Dave and Buster's, and they've been like, all right, everybody, like, you know, come on over here, and I got $100 card for each of you to just go nuts today. So going to Dave & Buster's on somebody else's dime, that's a lot of fun. Going right. to Dave & Buster's on your own dime, that's when you start being like, I'm spending too much money here. If you spend more than $5, it's too much money.
I disagree. Because like, if you're there for 2 hours and you spend like $50,
mm-hmm.
whatever. I mean, it's not as cheap as a movie, but maybe a 4DX or an IMAX movie.
That's true.
Getting there.
Well, so I was going to say, the depressing thing about places like Dave and Buster's now is that modern day arcade games, for the most part, are now ports of phone games.
Oh.
So you have like Flappy Bird, the arcade game, and Fruit Ninja, and Cut the Rope, like all those types of things.
Oh, I don't like that. I forgot about Cut the Rope, though. I might re-download Cut the Rope.
Yeah, Cut the Rope's actually pretty good. But, you
know, that's the one where you cut the rope?
Yeah, it's the one where you cut the rope with your finger.
Right.
You just like that game because you always like to pretend your finger's a knife.
Yeah, and I was never able to cut a rope in the real world. it's my secret shame.
Yeah, it's just like a, and they all seemingly have, not all, but I've seen ones that seemingly have like gambling type components to them. But, you know, gambling the same way like a iPhone app gambling, like game, where, you know, it's like loot crates and stuff, loot chests, and, you know, you're going to pay money and then you get like an actual physical card from the machine. And it's like, oh, now you can use this card in the machine. I've never actually played them, so I'm not super familiar with how they work, but they all looked like shit. They all looked like simultaneously boring and very confusing.
Okay, Tom, are Dave and Buster's open right now?
I'm sure in some states. I'm not sure. Probably they are in New York. I mean, there's indoor dining, so I'm sure that would apply. You know, there would still be like a cap on how many people, but...
Yeah, it'll be 2 weeks. Saturday, May 15th, you and I, Dave and Buster's, Times Square.
I don't...
We'll scope it out.
Maybe. I mean...
What? What could go wrong?
We could lose our shirts, Tim, on these games.
It's a business expense.
Oh, I see. We'll just charge it to the Patreon account.
Exactly. Hey, that's what the patrons want. They want us
to have
a
fun.
Sense of normalcy.
Let loose once in a while.
Okay, before we actually talk about the arcade games that you want to talk about, it just occurred to me the paradox of Tom Reynolds. Aren't you going to want to hear this?
Sure.
Have I piqued your interest?
Yes. I mean, are you sure you don't want to save this for like a dissertation?
I can expand on this.
Okay.
You like arcades. You mm-hmm. like going to arcades and putting your money into arcade games and playing them.
Mm-hmm.
You hate casinos.
Yeah.
And you hate going in, putting your money into like a slot machine. An arcade game, the ones that you like, you pay for, but there's never any chance of you getting any money or any physical, tangible reward out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a casino, there is that.
Yeah.
But you love one with all your heart and you abhor the other.
Yeah. Well, I want to put my money in and be entertained, I think, is what my... I want that to be its own reward.
Have you not played the Wheel of Fortune?
I've played the
machine?
Wheel of Fortune. Look, nobody's ever played...
It's got Pat, it's got Vanna. It's actually got the goddamn wheel, Tom.
I know, but nobody's ever played a modern slot machine and had any idea what's going on.
Yeah, until some of us win $2,700.
Was that on Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah, it was. The wheel spun, and yeah. I didn't know what was going on, but then all the alarms started going off.
But the problem with your paradox, Tim, is there's nothing I love more than a good claw machine.
Oh, yeah. Again, I think that's you. You also claim to be, quote, very good at claw machines.
Tim,
despite having no bounty of stuffed animals or digital watches to show for it.
Give them to charity. No, I think I've told this story on the podcast.
What charity are looking for stuffed animals from a claw machine?
It's a charity that, honestly, they don't do good work. It's they're helping all the wrong kinds of people, and that's why they accept shitty things like claw machine stuffed animals. No, I thought I've told this story about fairly early in my relationship with my girlfriend. I was bragging, like, of course this came up during conversation multiple times, how good I am at a claw machine. And then finally we were somewhere where they had a claw machine. She's like, oh, look what it is, a claw machine. Like, let's see, Buster. And I won something on my first token. And wow. Yeah. And it was like, oh, wow, this guy means what he says and says what he means.
Wow.
And that was when she fell in love with me.
That seems like a real pickup artist scam, right? Where it's like, brag about something and then surreptitiously put yourself in a position there and rig it to win. And then she'll always think you're telling the truth. And that's when you can really lie and get what you want.
And then you can get away with anything. She was a little suspicious at first why there was a claw machine in the hallway of my apartment. But, you know, I think just the fun of winning kind of put all those concerns aside.
It's a smooth move, Tom. And you were wearing that sharp fedora. She was eating out of the palm of your hand at that point.
Yeah, Tim, I was still peacocking. Still out there. Peacocking. My brain's out. What are some of your favorite arcade games? Because I'm not talking about, I'm talking about video game arcade games for the most part here.
Yeah. I never really liked video game arcade.
You bragged to me about a video game arcade achievement not that long ago.
Really? Yeah. Oh, a couple of years ago when I finally beat the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game?
Yes.
Yeah, me and some coworkers were at Barcade. Mm-hmm. I think we wound up putting $400 into it, and there were four of us just furiously mashing the buttons for about, I don't know, the whole thing was over in about 12, 13 minutes. The game's not that long when you have four drunk guys really wailing away on it, willing to just continuously shovel in any money that it asks for.
Yeah, that's always, you know, the trick with any, I guess not any game, but games like that, like any beat 'em up games, that it really is just, if you want to keep putting money in, you will eventually win and beat this game. I recently played that first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game on a an emulator. And that game is very cheap, the hits and stuff. Like, there are a lot of hits you can't avoid, is how it made money.
Yeah, but you and I, be it at a Spaceplex, be it at a Pizza Hut, be it at a JJ Doodles, if that machine was there, you and I were playing it.
Oh, yeah.
It was never like, we were never like, oh, no, that game's too hard, or you can't avoid the hits.
That game, I remember the first time I saw that game, because that game came out very, very soon after the cartoon started. So it came out
with the Simpsons game, which was like essentially the same game. It was like season one of both these shows.
Yeah, well, both of those were made by Konami. I'm not sure if it was like the same team, but it probably was.
If it wasn't, they had some redundancy there, let's be honest. Konami could have been like, hey, guess what? we had the exact same product come from these two different teams.
Because that Simpsons game has some weirdness in it because it was made so early on that I don't think they gave the team in Japan working on the game much other than, like, here's some sound files and here's some drawings of these characters. Go to town.
You can always tell when something is really early Simpsons, where it's like starring the Simpsons and those twins, Sherry and Terry, and Dr. Marvin Monroe, everybody's favorite characters on the Simpsons.
All the big characters. Similarly, that anytime as a kid you went somewhere and they had the Ninja Turtles game or the Simpsons game, it was like, I mean, I can't even imagine for like our parents. It must have been like, ah, fuck. Like when they walked in and saw, because those cabinets were so bright too. Like the Simpsons one was the blue sky of Springfield. Like you couldn't, it had the Simpsons color palette. I guess the Ninja Turtles one did to a certain extent too. But there was
darker.
Just,
you could see their eyes peeking out of the sewers.
Yeah, there was just no ignoring these machines. If they were in the building and you were a kid, you would see them.
Now that I have a lot of friends with kids, the way that they talk about their kids, Tom, I think our parents walked into a restaurant, you know, because I know they like Pizza Hut and. What was that place? The Ground Round. I remember.
Yeah, I'm mostly thinking about Ground Round because they had Simpsons and Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. I think our parents probably walked in there, Tom, and were like, oh, cool. I'll give my kids $5 and I can sit down with my spouse and have a conversation for 20 minutes without these two jackasses yammering in my
screaming.
And not me and you, we don't have the same, we're not brothers.
Right, right, but we both have brothers.
We each have a sibling, and yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, because the ground round, which was ground round, how would you describe that chain, Tim?
It was a casual family affair, but they had popcorn on the table, and the parents can get steaks if they wanted to, but it was more of kind of they're probably going to get a burger.
Yeah.
Here's what it was in the 80s and early 90s. On Tuesday nights, I think,
mm-hmm.
You come with your kid.
Oh, yeah.
they put your kid on a scale. Huh? They weigh your child for everyone to see. And you only had to pay 1 cent for every pound your child weighs for their meal.
Yeah. What an innovative idea to you know, charge your kids by the pound. And it was a way, and you know, you got your kid weighed for free. That was, back in the late 80s, early 90s, scales were expensive. Not everybody had a home scale. Sometimes you had to take your kid to ground round.
Or, you know, the doctors, nickel and diming you. You're just like, hey, guess what? Skip the weigh-in.
Yeah.
I got this printout from the ground round. I got this receipt. Look, only cost me 68 cents.
Why did the, yeah. Like, why even bother with all that? Why not just be like, you know what? Every Tuesday, kids eat for $1.50. Why go through the trouble of weighing a child? And be like, well, nope, you're not 70 pounds, you're 68 pounds, and we're going to save 2 pennies here.
It's fun.
They also had helium balloons they would give you.
Yeah. It's a great place.
They looked out for kids. And they had, I forgot, they had like a separate bar that like I never went into. Or no, I remember going in there because that's where you'd have to go to get change sometimes.
Yeah.
If the change machine wasn't working. And then they had one of those maybe like love testers in there. And I remember always thinking like, oh, there's a hidden video game in here. And it was like, oh no, it's just some weird 80s bar game to flirt with women or something.
For that?
I don't know. I'm thinking it was all about like all those like 80s machines that were meant for coin operated machines that were meant for bars were just there for like flirting purposes of like, hey,
yeah,
let's go take the love meter test together. Let's see what it says. Or the strength test. Let me show you how hard grip.
Hey, the strength test was cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I guess you're right.
How else are you supposed to show how strong you are?
By the time I was dating, they didn't have that kind of thing. So I would have to try and lift my date over my head to prove how strong I was. And you're right, things back in the 80s were a little more elegant in that regard.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Tom?
Yes?
What's your social battery like right now?
Beep!
Oh.
Boo.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Uh-huh.
Tom, I'll tell you from my perspective, since you're avoiding the question.
Uh-huh.
My social battery feels a little drained right now.
That was what that second sound was.
But
I had to do the going up show you the going
down. You gotta go up to get down.
That's what my first single's about.
It's weird. I feel kind of drained socially, even though you can attest, I don't do much socially.
Yeah, and you enjoy social things, but
I do,
but
and
it drains you.
Yeah, I don't know. It can be very easy to ignore our social battery, which is kind of what I'm doing right now, and spread ourselves thin, or just not know, kind of like, you know, where the optimal socialization is for
you.
You
want to be a shut in, but you can't be a party animal.
Yeah. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Mm-hmm. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more time alone. I don't know. Maybe you need a little bit of both. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Tom, we are, as everybody knows, very pro-therapy on this podcast.
Yes.
Anybody can benefit from therapy. It's not just for people, you know, dealing with trauma.
Yeah, or going through tough times.
Yeah, it's helpful for learning positive coping skills and setting boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, Tom. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, like you, Tom. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/complete guide today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, .com/complete guide.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Tim, I want to talk to you about some of this. Well, I'll probably burn through all the stories, but so it can't be a reoccurring segment on the show. But Tom's arcade memories, some of the fondest memories I have at arcades, and honestly, some not so fond memories.
Tom, let me ask you a question. Why do you think this would be a recurring segment and not just something we talk about on the arcade episode?
I don't know, because maybe
how is this relevant to any other episode? Your arcade, why not burn them all now? That's what the episode's
well,
about.
Maybe people are gonna,
I don't
like...
want to tell all my hot dog stories on the hot dogs episode, because I might want to talk, you know, if we're talking about sports cars, I might want to talk about hot dogs.
Well, look, if this segment really picks up steam, then maybe I'm just gonna have to get back out there and start hitting the arcades again. Come up with some new stories.
Tom, I want to make new stories. May 15th, Saturday, Dave and Buster's, Times Square.
So I have a few. I'll start off with the bad ones. First, I remember, do you remember the Bayshore Mall that had the arcade? And it was like the scummiest place on earth. And you had to go down a long carpeted hallway. The entire hallway was carpeted, not just the floor.
I remember I was not allowed in that arcade.
Yeah, I was not allowed on my own.
I had no real desire to. They also had, what was the Chuck E. Cheese ripoff?
Oh, Rockabilly, whatever.
Yeah,
Showtime, the Showtime. Yeah.
Showtime Pizza. They had one at that mall. And that's what all I cared about. And my parents never brought me there either. I only went to that mall to go to like the Sears or whatever that was there.
Yeah.
When my parents didn't want to drive the extra 5 minutes to the better mall.
Yeah, that was always like the sketchy mall. And this is in the 80s before like malls all got sketchy. But I do remember that this is old enough that this actually predated like change machines. There was an actual arcade operator that would walk around with like the belt thing with quarters.
Very cool.
Yeah. But because that place was sketchy, I remember as a kid getting a Christmas gift stolen while I was playing a game. Like I had left the bag on like the side of the arcade machine or between my legs or something.
What gift was it?
It was like something for my brother, my little brother. It was probably like $10 worth of stuff. But, you know, as a kid, that was like very like, you know, that was probably the first time I had like actually had something like new stolen from me. Yeah. And not like stolen in like a playground way where it's like, oh, I thought this was mine. I went home with it. It was like, no, this was somebody who was like, that's not mine. I'm going to take it.
Not like stolen in a playground way, he says. Yeah, no, a $10 item being stolen for, like one time I remember at that same mall, Tom, I had a $5 bill in my hand and I don't know what my plans were at the mall.
Mm-hmm.
But walking in, I was probably 6 years old, and I was like, well, I have money to spend at the mall, so I better get it out in the parking lot and
you know? Make sure I have it in my hand while I'm...
Yeah, and it was really windy, and it just blew away, and I was devastated for like 6 weeks after that. I was just like, $5 just down the drain. $5. Yeah. Can you believe it?
I think we're both probably, we didn't know each other at that age, but I think we were both probably like similar kids in as far as like losing money or losing something important. I think like fuck me up in ways that still affect me to this day.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. And I think I even like, you know, started crying about it in the parking lot. And my dad was probably like, oh,
yeah, it's yeah, $5, whatever.
$5, put it in your pot. Here's another $5. Just yeah. Like, calm down. Everything's going to be all right. You learned a lesson.
I even remember the game I was playing, Tim, because it was a bad game. But you'll be interested in a piece of trivia that I just looked up to make sure I was right. I remember this from being like, I don't know, 8 years old. But it was a game called DJ Boy, where it was like a beat-em-up game. And do you know
DJ Boy?
DJ Boy.
Okay.
Do you know who the DJ was in this game?
DJ AM.
No, Tim. It's none other than Wolfman Jack.
Oh, this is a real hip game.
Yep. It was horrible.
Wolfman Jack. Every 8-year-old in 1989's favorite guy.
Well, and it was Wolfgang also like Jack. It was also like very obviously like an extremely Japanese game that they like quickly translated and brought over, and you know otherwise had like a bunch of stuff where it's like I don't know what this is. It might have even been one of those games where like there's Japanese writing in like, you know, on store signs and stuff, and they were like, eh, whatever, that's too hard to fix. But yeah, if I was playing something like Ninja Turtles or The Simpsons, that would be one thing, but I was playing this dumb game.
That so you walked around as 1950s radio rock and roll
no,
DJ.
No, you didn't play as Wolfman Jack. He did the voices. He was like the DJ, over talking over everything.
What was it? Was he narrating the action?
No, the technology wasn't there yet. It was just was like, the technology hey, I'm Wolfman Jack, and here's DJ Boy. It was like something like that. Like the game would start, and he'd be like, "I'm Wolfman Jack. Here we go."
And then, so you didn't even get to play as Wolfman Jack?
No, Tim, you didn't get to play as Wolfman Jack.
You must have been devastated.
I thought that the game had something to do with actual Wolfmen, which I think is what attracted me to it in the first place. And I was pretty disappointed that it didn't.
Wolfman Jack, look, I don't want to speak ill of the dead. I assume
he's
dead.
He's dead?
He sucked, right?
I don't know. I have no idea. He sucked. I mean, that, like I said, that game got my brother's birthday present stolen. He was a Ninja Turtles figure of all things.
I guess he wasn't all that. He was like 50 when that came out, probably.
Yeah. Probably made a good chunk of change from that.
Yeah.
Next, I would like to talk about, you know what, Tim? Would you rather I stay on Long Island or would you rather I travel overseas?
let's have a little overseas flavor.
Okay. I, like, I don't know, like 10 years ago now, went to Japan and went to the arcades there. And man, oh man, it was, I don't know, one of the best experiences of my life. It was something that I dreamed about as a kid, going to a Japanese arcade. And of all things, they had Street Fighter 4, which was like not out yet anywhere. And they had it. And I was like, man, if I could tell, you know, the 11-year-old version of me, guess what? You're going to be in Japan and they're going to have a Street Fighter game that's not out yet. And you're going to get to play it. He wouldn't believe it.
Tom, I often think, like, oh, if you told 10-year-old Tim this, he'd be real impressed or real excited. 10-year-old Tim, like, whatever. His when you were 10 or 11, your imagination wasn't, like, cool. You played a video game.
Yeah. You'd be like, all right, and did you get married to Kathy Ireland or no? So I played this game, Tim, but not only that, I played this game against a Japanese man who was there, and I beat him, and he was so mad that I won. It was humiliating. I don't think he was allowed back in that arcade because an American came in there and beat him in Street Fighter 4.
It was all, Tom, you got played. Because you were just like, oh, cool, I'm freaking king of Japan now because I beat a Japanese guy at a video game. I'm going to stay here and keep shoveling my money into these.
No, I walked away. He wanted to play again, and I walked away. I don't know if you would like or hate Japanese arcades, Tim. You might like them or hate them for the same reason, which is that they're full of salarymen, you know, in suits. After work, just chain smoking cigarettes, playing, sitting in front of an arcade machine and just playing video games.
What makes you think I would like that?
I don't know.
I don't particularly care for video games. I don't smoke. I don't know what.
I don't know. It was like kind of a cool aesthetic.
Yeah, maybe. I'd like to see like a picture of it.
Yeah.
Sure.
It was
Tom, did you take any pictures while you were there?
No, I didn't take any pictures of any of these arcades. I don't know what I was thinking. I should have taken a picture with me and the man I defeated bowing
to
me.
This was like, what, 2008 probably? 2009 maybe?
Yeah, probably around there.
That was before the ubiquity of iPhones with good cameras.
Yes. Well, and that was also, I had an iPhone, and that was before iPhones were in Japan, I think. So, like, my iPhone just didn't work.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that. Again, the Japanese people were so humbled by your presence.
No,
that,
Tim, there was a guy. I've told this story because I went to a bar, and there were, like, a bunch of Japanese guys, like, looking at me.
All right, Tom, I don't endorse any of your stories.
You don't have to. But, like, finally, like, I kept looking at them, like, you know, and I'm thinking, like, oh, no. You know, I've seen a lot of movies about the Yakuza, and I'm thinking, wow, we're about to get into a knockdown, drag-out fight in the middle of this place.
Because they were looking at you?
Yeah. Because they just kept looking at me. And then finally, one of them came over and he was like, do you have an iPhone? And I was like, yeah. And they all came over and they were all blown away. And at the time, it was when I worked for Apple, and I was like, oh, I actually work for Apple, and I had my business cards with me. And I gave them a business card, and they lost their minds over that business card. And like, one of the guys just like, oh, Steve Jobs. I think he thought I was Steve Jobs. And I had a great time. Like, I bought him a round of drinks, and we all hung out, and like, we couldn't really talk about stuff because I don't speak Japanese and they didn't speak much English, but we all got hammered together, and it was a great time. And they were all salarymen as well, Tim.
Yeah, they tricked some freaking dumb American into buying them drinks all night.
That's fine. Fine.
Honey, they think I'm Steve Jobs because they're dumb. They're just like...
No, not because they were dumb. Asshole American. It was just because they were round after round. Impressed with, or at least pretending to be impressed with very mediocre things about myself. But yeah, so as a result, like I don't think I carried my iPhone around much just because it didn't do anything. So I don't have any real pictures. But that was also, I went to Sega Joyopolis, which is a big Sega-owned arcade / indoor theme park that Michael Jackson's been to.
he's been there. There's no specific Michael Jackson attraction or anything. No, there's no Michael Jackson moonwalker.
He was still alive at this point, but there was like basically a shrine to like the one time he came there with like pictures and signatures and all that kind of stuff. But that place was also awesome. They had a weird 24 game that I played. That I didn't really understand how it worked. You had to go around and scan things throughout the arcade, but it was all in Japanese, so I didn't know. There was a weird Prison Break thing that was actually more
like... the TV show Prison Break.
Yeah. Somehow they had to deal with Fox at this arcade, I guess. Prison Break thing, which was kind of like interactive theater. Like, there were actors in it. And you had to like,
that's cool.
Yeah. And you had like, you know, laser guns or something, and you had to like escape prison. That I loved.
Tom, were the actors very impressed with you because you were American and wearing cowboy boots or whatever?
They all came out and shook my hand afterwards. They did. I'm not joking. They did all come out and shake my hand afterwards. It was an exciting time for everybody, Tim. It was Japan in the late aughts. There was also like a crazy...
Now, you were the first American? I was the
only American in there that I saw. Me and my girlfriend at the time, we were the only Americans in there. And I soon realized why, because everything was in Japanese. There were like very few games that I could actually play. It was the kind of thing where there were...
Did you play the original version of the Wolfman Jack game? Did you finally track that down?
I don't... Well, first off, according to Wikipedia, the Japanese version does not feature Wolfman Jack. But no, it's like one of those things where you're like walking around looking at the games and you're like, I don't even... It's not, oh, I can't figure out how that game works. It's like, I don't know if that's even a game. It's just so confusing looking. You know, just like so much text on the screen and stuff. Like, you know, I think they had things like arcade role-playing games where, you know, it like required you to like sit and play it for hours or whatever and pay accordingly. So that, Tim, that was my journey overseas. Now
we went from some like bad things happening at the mall in Bayshore to some of the best experiences of your life.
To being welcome with open arms.
Hailed as a king. Yeah.
Tim, I will still never get over, like, I would love to, I think, retire in Japan, because at the bar, everybody put their pocketbooks up on a hook near the door, and that was fine. Nobody stole pocketbooks.
What are you, 90 years old, saying pocketbooks?
Purses. And nobody locks up their bikes. I want to take a bike just to teach everybody a lesson that they should lock up their bikes.
That you're an asshole?
Yeah, teach them all the stereotypes they've heard about America are true. So, Tim, that was my experience more or less overseas at Japanese arcades. I loved every minute of it. But the memories I have over here, the first one I wanted to bring up actually is a nice segue from Japan, because this was a game that I was led to believe was a Japanese exclusive. And it was. This was a Japanese machine that they had imported. And this was the Afterburner at Adventureland. And it was a machine that could go. What?
You're saying this with such gravitas, like this means anything to anybody.
It means a lot to me, Tim. This machine could turn 360 degrees. Do you remember this at Adventureland?
No, I don't. Adventureland was an amusement park.
Yeah. So this
Farmingdale, Long Island, kind of like a small market, third rate amusement park.
Yeah, it's like a highway side amusement park.
Their roller coaster doesn't even have any loops in it.
No, it's basically like a permanent carnival.
Right. It's nice. I have some fond memories.
Oh, yeah. It was fun. And, like, you know, living on Long Island, like, I mean, as a kid, I always thought it was like hours away. And then once I learned to drive.
That's what your parents wanted you to think.
Yeah. And then once I learned to drive, and it was like, oh, this is a 15-minute drive away. Why don't I go here all the time? So they had.
And that's when you went every day to Adventureland when you were 18 years old.
They had. So Afterburner's like a jet fighter game. You're flying a jet fighter. But this version, it was a capsule, like a sphere. And you would go inside. You would get, strapped in.
You're getting too excited, Tom. Take a deep breath.
And this thing could go completely upside down, could do complete flips. And it was, I don't remember how much it was, but it was like, you know, $10 or something to go on it. And they like had to have like a man there to make sure like you didn't fuck around and decapitate yourself. And also like all the warnings and stuff were written in Japanese. But I got to ride it twice. Because, like, when I was going upside down and stuff, like, I don't think I even, like, tried to play the game. I just, like, wanted to flip upside down. I let my body go, like, completely limp, you know, to get the full effect. And I hit the emergency button by accident, like the emergency stop button. And it ground.
Because you let your body go limp?
Yeah, my knee hit into it. So the whole thing shut down. And I was like, what? No, that was an accident. So they let me do it again.
How old were you at the time?
25. No, I don't know. I was probably like 12 or 13.
Okay, that makes sense. I pictured you for some reason like 17 or 18 doing this, which...
No, I would have. But and I did intentionally hit the emergency button at the end of the second go. To see if I could be like, what the hell? It happened again. But they were like, no, it happened with like 2 seconds left in the thing. You're done.
You did it on purpose.
Yeah. And we saw you hit it. But Tim, that brings me to the crowning achievement in Long Island arcades, which was in the late 1990s. When a baseball player named Brett Saberhagen opened up a little place called Brett Saberhagen's Hit and Fun.
Now, this was a big deal. Brett Saberhagen was a major league ball player. He was a pitcher. I think he won a Cy Young Award at one point.
Yeah, maybe.
And he moved to our town.
He pitched for the Mets.
Yeah, and a number of teams. He was
right.
He was living in
New York because he was pitching for the Mets.
Yeah, he wasn't some third stringer or anything.
No.
He was a real guy, and he moved to the rich section of our town, which neither of us lived in.
Yeah.
Built a
I
big
had always
there.
Heard that he bought Barbara Streisand's old house.
Barbara Streisand didn't live in our town.
Yeah, that's what I always thought, but anyway. Anyway. You know,
what a weird rumor.
It never occurred to me that we lived in a very small town, and I heard that like a million times, and I never heard a single tale of like somebody seeing Barbara Streisand, so that makes sense.
I will say also, this guy moved to town, and like, I don't know, I was a casual baseball fan. I was never really into sports, but I knew about him because he was on the Mets. But I acted like, oh, suddenly I'm a big Brett Saberhagen fan. And like, my dad came back from like the bakery one Saturday, Sunday morning with donuts. And he's like, ah, Brett Saberhagen was at the bakery. I chatted him up. He's a nice guy. And I was like, you met Brett Saberhagen? And my dad was like, do you even like...
yeah. You don't have a poster of the Mets.
Yeah. And so he moved to our town, and then he was like, I'm going to buy this property that had this depressing bank on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to knock down the bank, and I'm going to build a batting cage / arcade / family fun center.
Yeah, like laser tag, I think they had to. All that nonsense. Man, when that happened, and I think... like, I don't know why. I don't know what was going on in my life that I didn't know about it until it was, like, opening. And that was the best way to hear about it as a giant nerd that was like, hey, they're opening a arcade you can ride your bike to.
Tom, do you remember opening night? It was like a freaking Hollywood premiere. Like, anybody who was anybody was there. Right. And like they had those lights that like those spotlights that just went into the sky. And I remember a friend of ours, Thomas Gambino, like had like just turned 16 and was like just old enough to work there. And like he was one of the first, you know, people like that welcomed you as you got in. Like it was so cool to like have an in there.
He'd be like, oh, it was hey, like, guys, I know one here. Of the arcade operators.
Yeah, and that was just a magical night, the opening of Brett Saberhagen's Hit and Fun.
Yeah, I can't remember. There were like a bunch of like D-list celebrities there, and I wish to God I could remember who they were. And I also, it's a weird thing that, it was like a big premiere, like a big grand opening, and full of like weird celebrities, but then we were there too? Just as like normal kids that could just go to the arcade.
Yeah. I mean, it burned brightly because like it started in the late 90s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like probably like 97?
Yeah, I want to say around 96, 97.
By 2005, it was an old age home and continues to be. Like, it's a senior residence now.
Yeah. Well, I remember because when it opened, it was, again, as somebody who is a big fan of arcades, it was insane because they had every new game and every machine was new. It was like everything was state of the art. And that was like right at the peak, actually probably past the peak of like... arcade machines being demonstrably better than home machines.
Right.
Like this was around when like PlayStation came out and it was like, oh, now we're almost there. This is pretty close for like, I remember they had like some new Tekken game that did look better than anything on PlayStation, but not that much better. So this was like, a little after arcade's heyday, because that's what I wanted to talk about too. There's not much time left now, but that
you were too busy talking about how you were revered in Japan for a multitude of reasons.
That in the 80s and 90s, early 90s, mid 90s, arcades were like a glimpse of the future because the games looked so much better than what was capable on home machines at the time. So that was another big where it was like, you would play something and be like, this is amazing. And in, I don't know, 7 years, I'm going to be able to play something that looks this good at home. So Brett Saberhagen hit the tail end of that. And pretty much when they stopped making arcade games, I think. And I also remember one of Brett Saberhagen's other downfalls was that they never got any new games after that opening night. Like, that was it.
I think for him, he was like, well, the kids are going to come here for the batting cages.
Right. Well, and probably also, like, we went all out buying brand new machines for the opening. Now you're telling me if I want to sell this machine that I paid, you know, 10 grand for, I'm only going to get 2 grand back? No, we're keeping all these machines and we're not going to buy any new machines. So there was just never anything new there. So after a certain point, like, you had played everything. And you were, I don't know, looking for something new, and they just never had anything new.
Yeah. Well, I will say that they had Skee Ball, and they had other things that
produced tickets. They had bowling as well, because my little brother and his friend Pat one time decided to run down the lanes and, you know, dive into the bowling pins, and Brett Saberhagen himself appeared out of nowhere to scream at them.
He was right to do it. It's a lawsuit. Oh, absolutely.
I didn't know. What were you gonna say? I'll let you finish.
Well, one time we won enough tickets to
kill a man. Hire a hitman.
No, to get a Jurassic Park Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Oh, yeah. I
became
remember
a Stentor,
that.
Tom.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool prize. Did they have food at Brett Saberhagen?
I think so. I don't understand. Like, I intellectually know that, like, I spent some time there.
Yeah.
But I have so few memories of actually being there or what happened there.
Yeah. And there were just, like, weird, like, I'm vaguely remembering where the laser tag was, and it was like a weird, like, trailer inside the building. Like, the building was like a warehouse. It was a very big building with very high ceilings. I also found out from research online that the building was constructed to resemble Ebbets Field, and that the
unnecessary
and that the business was managed by his then wife, Lynn Critelli. And Lynn Critelli is famous from, she was in the group Pajama Party that had a hit song called Yo No Se, that I thought for sure I'd never heard of that song or that group. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, I know this song. And you would probably know the song too, but their marriage has since ended, I think, because of the stress of running Brett Saberhagen's hit and fun for Brett Saberhagen. My brother also claimed that Brett Saberhagen was noticeably drunk when he came downstairs to yell.
Well, you've already disparaged. Residents of Japan, maybe don't also get us a libel lawsuit.
Look, I'm just reporting on what I heard. I cannot verify it. Are you listening to Yo No Se right now?
Yeah. I'll wait till we're done. Are we gonna have to do an arcade game? Is this part one? Is what I'm asking.
No, I think this is it for right now. I mean, unless people demand more.
Like, I had a lot of notes about, like, arcade culture and specific games.
All right. Well, maybe it's part one. I do have more,
Tom,
to talk
we
about.
This is an hour-long show. Mm-hmm. The title was Arcade Games. We didn't say the words Pac-Man even once.
Yeah. I mean, Pac-Man's, like, a little before our time.
I played a lot of Pac-Man, Tom.
Oh, I mean, I played it a lot.
Miss Pac-Man.
But we weren't around for, like, Pac-Mania.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that, like, we don't need firsthand knowledge. We do a lot of research here, Tom.
Well, then we do need firsthand knowledge.
What do you mean?
If we're doing research, I want the research to be hands-on. I want to be there during Pac-Mania. Otherwise, what do I have to say about it? Tim, all right. We'll follow up with part two, and then we'll do part three when me and you triumphantly return to Dave and Buster's on May 15th.
Tom, somebody... Well, let's do the plugs first, and then...
If you like the show, check out tcgt.com. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/completeguide. Follow us on Instagram, @tcgte. Follow us on Twitter, @completeguide. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, @TomReynolds.
You follow me @yourpaltim.
If you want to support the show, check out our sponsors. Also, check out patreon.com/completeguide for our Patreon. Books the Podcast, we're in the middle of Tim's in the middle of reading A Wrinkle in Time, and he's telling me all about it on the show, and that's how Books the Podcast works. You get all the back episodes as well. Patreon.com/completeguide.
Them's all right, the yeah, plugs. We got other stuff too. Okay.
We've got other stuff too, you just want to say. Yeah, we have other stuff too. It's cool.
You know, we got like merch and stuff. Yeah. I don't know. The merch isn't good. Tommy, you know what I want to make?
What do you mean the merch? Oh, you don't like it because of the coward astronaut shirt that you...
Yeah, you put words in my mouth. You claim that your story is that I claim that all astronauts are cowards, which I never said. And one day there's going to be an astronaut tragedy and I'm going to look like an
asshole.
You're
going to get canceled.
Yeah, exactly. And there's going to be shirts to prove it. And I didn't approve these shirts.
Well, look, I admit, Tim, when the design came back from the designer, I could have not asked for, hey, can you put Tim Says, S-E-Z, right above it in graffiti type?
I'd like to make a shirt that features my groundbreaking sandwich creation, the Timbo.
Oh, well, maybe. They've actually been asking us for more designs.
Okay, well, great. So hang tight. And send me your Timbo creation. I feel like I haven't talked about the Timbo a lot. I'm making a lot of, not innovations. Tom, can I tell you something about the Timbo sandwich?
Sure.
It's the sandwich that will be my legacy.
It's a Texas grilled cheese.
Toast.
Oh, Texas toast. Yeah. Oh, Ooh. That makes a lot of sense. All right.
Yeah. Tom, I'm going to post some pictures because, like, really caramelized onions and Texas toast, mm-hmm. cheddar cheese. Oh, look, Timbo 2.0 is coming, and maybe we'll earmark some time at the beginning of an episode
to go over this, it.
The dregs here where nobody's listening. But somebody on Patreon said what we should do for a Patreon series.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've been doing is between Books the Podcast books.
Yeah.
We've been doing a palate cleanser episode. Mm-hmm. One where we go to New York places and report back. And I think as we're emerging from this year plus of bullshit,
mm-hmm.
it would be kind of fun to do a Tim and Tom Take New York and one week go to Dave and Buster's and then another week go to the freaking Empire State Building and, report back on this stuff.
Yeah. Tim and Tom Take
go to
Manhattan.
The Oculus. Yeah. It'd be cute.
It would be cute. We'll have to also hire somebody to film a montage of us scampering from place to place.
Tom, I think we often discount how cute the two of us are.
It's true. I hear that more and more.
As soon as you turn 40, I think we should really lean into how your cuteness.
Yeah, we should really embrace how cute we can be.
Yeah.
That'll be very nice and not humiliating at all.
We'll put a little beanie with a propeller on it, and you'll have a big oversized lolly. You wear short pants.
All right. We'll see you next week.